If you'll be so kind as to open your love letters to 2 Corinthians 3:17 and Galatians 5:1. 2 Corinthians 3:17 and Galatians 5:1. Tonight's study, or where the Lord has parked me or wants to use us, I have prayed and feel like, is this question. And only you can answer this question. Is America celebrating her independence when in fact she is no longer independent? Now, as we share what God lays on your heart, and as I share what God has presented to me, I want to ask you, when we speak in this study this evening, when I speak of country, when I speak of America, when I speak of the citizens, I want you to parallel yourself with Dennis. When we're speaking of America has lost her independence, has Dennis lost his independence? When America has turned from serving God and America looks back on its Judeo-Christian heritage, has Dennis looked back and realized that he has strayed? And you do that, and let's see where the Lord wants us. But if the Lord can turn the world upside down with 11 men, He can do mighty things through a handful, a remnant of members at Crescent Beach Baptist Church. And I thank you because you are wonderful witnesses. You are wonderful fellowship for an old sin and tax collector like me. So if you'll be so kind, in 2 Corinthians 3:17, we find these words. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Interesting, isn't it? On this Independence Day, that we find our liberty in God's Word. And that's the only place we can find anything of any value. Then if you'll be so kind as to look over in Galatians 5, verse 1. And we find these words. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. There's that word again. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Be not entangled. Be not snared. Be not trapped with the yoke of bondage. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this privilege and this honor. May you speak through me. May you start a revival even in our hearts this evening for America, a nation that you founded and your principles, a nation that you blessed so that we could bless a world, a nation that you have poured your blessings decade after decade on. And Heavenly Father, I thank you that the gospel has been spread as far as it has by America and our forefathers. Truth, a majority of our forefathers standing on the Judeo-Christian heritage, Judeo-Christian principles that are founded in your word. So Heavenly Father, as we open your word this evening, may you use me as a dying man talking to dying people, but Heavenly Father, may a living God work through our hearts and stir our spirits so that we, Heavenly Father, can do our part in turning our community, our city, our state, and our country back to a nation under God. We love you and thank you for what you're going to do this evening, for what you've done in the past, and we anticipate and look forward for what you promised us that you're going to do in the future. In the name of your Son, our Savior, we pray these things. Amen. Let me share with you, the 4th of July is the anniversary of the adoption of the Declaration of Independence that was signed on July 4th, 1776. All of you know your history. Signed in the city of Philadelphia, the Declaration of Independence marked the birth of this nation, which under God had destined for world leadership. I believe all of us agree with that. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It was a God-founded, God-fearing forefathers that penned these words, that God ordained and worked through them to make America what we are. Patrick Henry wrote, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Now, let's go into the spiritual realm, if you please. In like manner, Paul dealt with the liberty or death issue facing the Galatian church, which needed to arm itself against the Judaizers' deadly doctrine of circumcision. The Judaizers were trying to imprison and put them in bondage and put them in yoke. The Judaizers taught that circumcision was necessary for salvation, but if this doctrine was embraced, it would strip the church of its freedom in Christ and put it in the death grip of legalistic bondage. Wow. Where do you find yourself this evening? Do you find yourself in legalistic bondage? Do you find yourself and the devil's tapping you on the shoulders that you're not forgiven? Do you find yourself handicapped in the Lord? Or do you find yourself in Christ where you have all the liberty that you want? So then let me ask you in the parallel, where do we find our country? Do we find our country in bondage? I fear that we do. I fear that our country is no longer the country that's free in the liberty of Jesus Christ and godly principles and the Bible, which was used for the great institutions that at one time were acclaimed and renowned throughout the international educational systems. Now we've taken the Bible out. Now we've taken God out of the formula. But Paul comes and says, stand fast. Keep on standing, therefore, in the liberty or freedom with which Christ hath made us free. Don't you think that's a calling card? Don't you think that's a calling alarm for America to stand? To stand in the liberty that God has made us? To stand up and say, I don't care what you say, in the office of the tax collector, we're going to pray. And if you don't like it, come and haul me out in shackles. And I, by the way, I'll take my Bible when you take me. I firmly believe that we just need to stand up to the human secularists who are bearing our country. Where are we? What have we done with America? Not only were the Galatian believers, so there's such a parallelism of our spiritual liberty and our national liberty and our personal liberty. Not only were the Galatian believers to stand in liberty, they were to shun legalism and be not stopped being entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Legalism was a twofold effect on people. First, legalism is like animals or birds ensnared in a trap. The trap of legalism, Judaism, a system of religious do's and don'ts, it cannot work. A system where anything is honored except the Lord Jesus Christ cannot work. Then it becomes a system and an institution that ensnares you into the traps that Satan wants you to be ensnared in. Second, they are under the yoke of bondage, a picture of servitude. Why put God to the test? We find in Acts 15:10. Why put God to the test to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? That's over in, I think that I marked it. I hope I did. Over in Acts 15:10, we find these words. In Acts 15:10, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Why even go there? Why even put a yoke upon our necks? And then I like this. Dr. Wiersbe said, the unsaved person wears a yoke of sin. The religious legalist wears a yoke of bondage. But the Christian who depends on God Almighty and God's grace wears the liberating yoke of Christ. The same with our nation. The same with us. We forget that in declaring independence from an earthly power, our forefathers made a forthright declaration of dependence upon Almighty God. The closing words of this document solemnly declare, of this document, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. They were declaring, if you please, they were declaring their country independent from Great Britain with a strong dependence on God Almighty. Isn't that something? That's what our forefathers were declaring. What has happened to us? What have we done to God? Of the 56 courageous men who signed that document, a few were long to survive. They understood, and this is what's interesting. These men that signed that document, these 56 men, they were men of wealth. They were men who had worked hard. They were men who who had accumulated their means, they believed in the spirit and the freedom and the liberty of America so much that they signed that document understanding that they could lose their life, that they could lose their family, that they could lose their home. But they stood. Let me ask you, as Christians standing in the liberty of Jesus Christ, are we afraid to go and knock on the neighbor's door? When all that we have, the very breath we take, is of God anyway? What have we done wrong? We have been bought out. And I shouldn't go here because it's... But I'm going to share with you. I'm reading about the New Testament and the period between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And Alexander the Great, in his 30s, in a short 12 years, brought the Hellenists, the Greek culture, and it has spread around the world, and we still embrace and use it today in our cities. But the Judaizers, the Jews, some of the Jews embraced it. This is great. Some of the Jews and the sects that we read about and we follow behind in the Testaments, they said, no, we don't want anything to do with it. But it's similar to what you and I are doing in America. Well, we're going to go through this smorgasbord of what we like and what we don't like. Oh, we know that we're Christians. Oh, we know that we're saved. Oh, we believe He's coming back for us. But, oh God, what does it hurt? Does that hit home? And guess what? Then when we take a stand for the Lord, the rest of the society is watching us going, there's really no difference in them and us. And then it continues and perpetuates. And just what the devil did with the Hellenists and the Jews and the separation and the destroying of the temple in 70 AD. And just what we read in history is just what we see tearing our country apart. Because we are not standing up for the liberty we have in Jesus Christ. God be with America. God be with us, because we are part of the problem if we're not taking a stand for Jesus Christ. They paid the price and freedom was won. Someone has said, to be born free is a privilege, to die free is an awesome responsibility. So I stop there on the spiritual parallelism. Are you willing to pay the price to die free in Christ? Do you really care if it's of eternity and has eternal value? Do you really care what people think? Are you willing to die free in Christ and have the liberty that only Christ can buy us? I submit to you, America's in the midst of a storm, and we must turn back to God and establish ourselves in His Word to be in His will. We must. We don't have a choice. We must turn back. In seeking independence from Great Britain, the colonists declared to the world their belief in a personal, infinite God, their Creator, who endowed them with certain inalienable or substitute right, absolute rights. To these men, it was self-evident that if there were no God, there could be no absolute rights. These American colonists knew very well that if the inalienable rights, the absolute rights they were urging, were not seen in the text, in the context of the Judeo-Christian theism, they were without content. So the Declaration of Independence is structured upon a Judeo-Christian base in two fundamental ways. First, it professes faith in a Creator who works in and governs the affairs of men, establishing absolute standards to which men are held accountable. And we're in a society that does not like absolutism at all, especially absolute standards that are based on godly principles. And this is the only plumb that we need. This is the only standard we need. This is all that we need, is God's standard. And second, since all Western nations of that era professed a belief, listen to this, all Western nations at that era professed a belief in the Creator, there is the idea that man is a fallen creature and cannot be his own lawgiver and judge. So the colonists declared, it is God to whom the appeal must be made, and in this sense, the law is what God says it is. So since we have gained our independence, we can look back upon the tremendous heritage of political freedom founded upon a biblical faith and a biblical understanding of the nature of man. We have a rich Judeo-Christian heritage of which we have strayed. I don't care what they say. That's where we started. And we need to get back to our first love. And our first love should be God through His Son, Jesus Christ. But the United States has drifted away from its original intent and foundation, maybe too far away from its Christian heritage. In the last 40 years, we've seen ferocious assaults on the Christian faith and morals. Where have the Christians been, and why aren't we fighting our rights? We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity, but we have become intoxicated. We have become intoxicated with unbroken success. We have become too self-sufficient, have we not? We've become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us, and it behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power to confess our national sins and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. I don't know about you, but I pray that we have a great revival. I pray that the churches will start preaching the Word of God. My brother shared with me that there are churches in our community who don't want to offend people. And there are churches in our community who don't want to tell the truth that there's a real hell and there's a real heaven. Y'all, what have we come to? What have we come to? Abraham Lincoln, April 30th, 1863, made a proclamation for a national day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer. When Christians cease to influence the order of society, that society is left to flounder unprotected amidst the philosophy of the world. Have we not come to that? I fear that we have. We Christians have ceased to influence societies around us. We are no longer the salt of the world, and we have been called that we've been called to be. That's in Matthew 5:13. Many people claim that due to separation of church and state, we are prohibited from involvement as Christians trying to influence public policy, governed by the people and for the people. But leave your God home, Dennis. And I say that not facetiously. I say that as a fact. I say that because I was asked to introduce a Congress lady who is another Christian in a convention in Nashville, Tennessee, a couple of summers ago. We had the best time just sharing how the Lord put us where we were and how the Lord had used her. Even with small children, the Lord had prepared and protected her family and how she was being shot down in the chambers in Congress because of her faith. This is in Congress. This is a shame. And at the same meeting, I was asked to do an invocation. The person that asked me to do the invocation said, "And watch how you pray." I'm offended. What do you mean? Watch who you ask to pray. And that was exactly what I said. Well, the Congress lady kicked me and said, "Go." So it's refreshing to know that we have people in Washington and we have people in politics who still take a firm stand for government by the people, by God's government. Then the Bible was never threatened. And this is interesting, too. This is what I don't get. The Bible has never threatened America. Why don't we tell them that? The Bible has never threatened America. It has helped to build America. So I'm much afraid that schools will prove, as we have seen and as we continue to see, schools will prove to be the great gates of hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures, engraving them in the hearts of our youth. How many of you remember we used to pray in school and say a Pledge of Allegiance? And some of us were lucky enough to have Christian teachers who would read Scripture in the morning. Didn't hurt us, did it? You bet. Didn't hurt the country. It was a foundation. Every institution in which men are not increasingly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt. These were words spoken by the great Martin Luther. And now that America has taken the Bible, the very book that established our schools, what are we experiencing? We're experiencing murder by children in the schools, schoolhouse, which is supposed to be an environment of nurture and compassion and security. And haven't we stopped reaping? Haven't we started reaping what we've sown? But they don't get it. But they don't get it. Our founding fathers gave ample historical evidence to prove that their original intent is exactly what they wrote in the First Amendment to the Constitution. They were adamant that government, the state, not be permitted to establish a federal, quote, state religion, and to prohibit the free exercise of religion according to the dictates of the individual conscience. So if you and I are where we're supposed to be, our individual conscience is controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit, is it not? Wow. And that's where we are. But today the secular humanists with their liberal ideology have been successful in twisting the concept of separation of church and state to mean separation of God from government. They have convinced us that the church should not expose corruption and immoral legislation and that Christians should not be active in politics. Haven't we seen that? We've seen that just recently. And people ask me of my role as a Christian in government and politics. And we need more light and less heat in our politics, is my reply, if we're going to be both democratic and Christian. We need to pray for the Lord to help us as intelligent, conscientious, and spiritual perceptive as we can be in assessing candidates and issues, especially in this election year. So many would agree that the Christian religion, and I've always stopped there and said, my Christian faith ought to permeate every aspect of my life, not my religion. And as citizens of two worlds, we are actually obligated to mix politics and religion, so surely there is nothing wrong with such mixing, providing our politics is clean and our religion is pure. But where are we? Where are we? Yeah, I'll be honest. I'll just share some things that I've done in the past. These are kind of funny. Some of you may have heard. But when I was first tax collector, I could get away with stuff when we were all downtown in the Castle Monica building. So we could do great things. This is the truth. I would call the chairman of the board. This was when St. Augustine was fun. And I'd call the chairman of the board. We have a person wanting to get a psychic license. And the statute at that time, Statute 205, statute says that you determine if they get it or not. Just tell them, no, you need a letter. But we understood. And the Christian colleagues that I work with back then were not afraid to take a stand. We were, and the joke was that the budget was controlled by the state, and the state let the commissioners know at that time, Kathy, you know, the budget's getting kind of high. You need to start cutting back. So I teased everyone, we need to cut the budget back. So pick up all the paper clips off the floor, and one of my secretaries said, well, Ms. Chollingsworth, it's really not the paper clips that are expensive, but it's the pens that people love the pens. We order the pens by thousands. All right, I tell you what we'll do, and I actually did this. All right, put Jesus loves you. Do you have time for Jesus on the pens? Oh, the pens didn't go anywhere. Honest, brother. I'll never forget that. And then I was chastised and challenged because of the using tax dollars to print the pens. Oh, no. I'll go to court. I didn't use one penny of your tax money because I ordered so many the printing was free. So those are some of the things that we as Christians, we need to take a stand. And God will protect us. And God wants us to be the salt to a lost and dying world. But in reality, a godless society standard where 30 million unborn babies are murdered was a society at one time that was founded by God Almighty. A godless society standard where children are exposed in pornography and children are gunned down in their schools was a society founded by God Almighty. It's frightening, isn't it? In reality, the Supreme Court of the United States of America and our Congress have violated the guarantees of the First Amendment. How? Though forbidden from establishing a, quote, state religion, the federal government is subsidizing the public schools for our nation with millions of tax dollars to teach humanism, which is defined as a religion in 1961 Supreme Court ruling. Our Supreme Court and Congress have also outlawed prayer and Bible reading from our schools, which use the Bible as the primary textbook from their inception. And the First Amendment is required by the states in order to limit the power of the federal government and to prevent it from establishing a national denominational church such as existed in England. So what has happened? We find ourselves no longer the salt to a society, but instead we find ourselves siding with the hedonists, the pleasure seekers. We Christians have got to take a stand. We Christians have the power. We Christians have the liberty in Jesus Christ, and we can make a difference in our community. According to Romans 1, and if you'll be so kind, over in Romans 1, and I'm not going to read all of the verses, but over in Romans 1, 20, 21, verses 21 through 32. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beast and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Don't we see that today? Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the Creator more than the creature, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So therefore, we lose when we dismiss God. We lose. We lose our standard. We lose our purpose. And we lose our worship. And I fear to say that we are in the process of losing all three of these today in America. We lose our standard, our purpose, and our worship. We lose our standard. If the majority opinion determines good and evil, what happens when the majority is wrong? Over in Romans 1:32, we see, who knowing the judgment of God, that which commits such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And we have people, I would dare say that half of the population of America does not believe in hell. Half of the population of America believe if you do wrong, it's because of the way you were raised, or it's your psychic, or it's the color of your bedroom. Y'all, this is not the standard that God has for mankind. So what do you do when the majority of the kids in a certain group say it's all right to steal or raid or even fire pistols from a moving vehicle, or so live together without the sanctity of marriage, or to murder millions of unborn babies? What happens when a society denies the importance of right and wrong? If a society deletes God from the human equation, what sandbags will they stand against the swelling tide of barbarians and hedonism which is happening in America? What standards do we have? I'll just be real honest and candid with you. I have to work a workforce who is an ungodly workforce. And a workforce who thinks that there's nothing wrong with shortchanging people. That's why I can go back, I have a system, so I can go back and I can tell what time of the day you waited on this person, whether this person gave you a check or cash, and how much change you gave this person back. Drives me crazy when they don't balance. Why? Because they don't see anything wrong if they're $25 short. Don't tell the boss. Where is the standard? It's rampant, and I see it. Where is the standard when this floors me. This is what we deal with. These are people, our neighbors, our society, who have no standards. Where is the standard when the man can't get his license for 2 years because of DUI? And he steals his dead brother's ID and drives his blind mother to the office and slides her over in the driving side. This really happens. And behind the driving wheel, so he can come in and it looks like she's driving and she can't see her hand in front of her. And then we watch this and have to go out, and the mother starts crying, and what's going on, and have to tell the mother. and he has absolutely no standard and no conscience. Where are we Christians? Where are the standards? Well, right here in Romans, we lose our standard, and that's what we've lost in 2 Timothy 3:3. I think I marked that one too. That was good. 2 Timothy 3:3. We find these words: without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. That's what we find. You have to forgive me, my new computer printer prints front and back, and it drives me crazy. We need to make sure that we use God's standard, and finally fight for the godly standard our fathers based our nation on. And that's where we are. Not only have we removed the standards of ourselves, we've removed the standards of a holy, godly nation. Make sure your government leaders and candidates in this election year use God's standards. Ask them. I don't know how many of you remember when Jim Smith ran for governor. Do any of you remember? It wasn't that long ago, if I can remember. Come on. Anyway, he ran for governor, and I was asked to be on the, I'm not a celebrity, but I was asked to be on the wagon, you know, and do the introductions. And so with the loudspeaker going and everything, I said, "Well, Jim," I said, "I'm a born-again Christian. And what church do you go to? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?" Well, everyone left. I think you remember that. Everyone left. This is out at like a cracker day out at the fairgrounds. They actually turned and walked off the stage. Totally embarrassed. So, of course, I said, you can't go anywhere. You've got to speak next. We can talk later. So I introduced him. But we need to ask him. Just ask him point blank. If you want my vote, I want to know, are you my brother or sister in the Lord? You have a right to ask him. You have an obligation to ask them, because we need to bring God's standards back. Then we lose, not only do we lose God's standards, we lose our purpose. Deep in every heart, there's a longing for meaning, a quest for purpose. Some search for purpose in careers. They work all the time. Consequently, they do a lot, but they work many hours. They don't have any identity other than their identity with work. Others seek meaning in who they sire, what they have. They live vicariously through their kids. It's enough having children, but to live and to have that as your desire, to have that as your purpose. Some try sports, entertainment, cult, sex, you think of it, and they have tried all mirages in the desert of purpose. Claiming themselves to be wise without God, they became utter fools instead, as we find in Romans 1:22. Where we find professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And then with God in our world, you aren't an accident or an incident. You, everyone within the sound of my voice, listen to this. This is powerful. You are a gift to the world, a divine work of art signed by God. He's got a purpose. He's got a standard. Therefore, you and I need to allow God's signature to influence others and become the salt of our society. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to devote ourselves to the good deeds for which God has designed us. That's in Ephesians 2:10. What makes us special is the signature of God in our lives. We are His work of art. We are created in His image to do good deeds. We are significant not because of what we do, but because of whose we are. We were purchased with the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. America as a nation, had God's signature and seal of approval on it until we turned our backs on Him. What are we going to do with Him in the future? And I pray we as His people and individually will not lose our purpose. So therefore, don't lose your purpose. And finally, we lose our worship as a nation. Most of the American churches today have lost their ability to truly worship God. They no longer preach the Word of God and believe that the Bible is the inerrant Word of God. What a sad commentary for a nation founded on God and godly principles. At the time that I was doing research, 55% of Americans believe that they will go to heaven if they're good and don't hurt people. Over 45, closer to 50%, don't believe in a place called hell. A large percentage don't believe the virgin birth, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ. What standards do they have to stand on? What purpose in life do they have? I fear what we've come to. You'll never find what you need if you don't look in the right place. And if you're looking for truth and purpose, look in the right place. Go to the author of truth. That's Jesus Christ and God. God, through His Son, Jesus Christ, they traded the glory of God who holds the whole world in His hands for any cheap figurines you can buy at any roadside stand. That's in Romans 1:21. And what do we see in history when I mention about Israel and the Hellenists? Israel started falling in love with all of the Hellenist culture. Have we Americans not started falling in love with all the material cultures, all the little roadside things that we can buy and play with and worship, and yet we don't realize and we don't call them God? And they have become strong gods in America's eyes. So the more we know, the less we believe. Now that we know so much through technology, the system and learning how it works, the loss of mystery has led to the loss of majesty. Knowledge of the working shouldn't negate wonder. Knowledge should stir wonder. So who has more reason to worship than the astronomer who has seen the stars? Then the surgeon who's held a heart in his hand. Then the oceanographer who has pondered the depths. The more we know, the more we should be amazed. But ironically, because we Americans are so spoiled, the more we know, the less we worship. No wonder there is no wonder. We figured it all out. We've seen it all. We get excited? Nope. There's nothing sacred. The holy becomes humdrum rather than dashing into life like kids to the park. We doze through our days like commuters on a train. And we don't get excited about souls that are saved. And bless these people. Three witnesses of how they got saved. That's so fresh. That's so revealing. That's so of what God wants us to tell the rest of the world. There's a God. I was lost in my sins and trespasses. And a God has forgiven me. And a God has taken me out of the bondage. And put His free yoke on me. And His name is Jesus. And that's really what the world needs to hear. That's really what they're dying to hear. So according to Romans 1, godlessness is a bad state of affairs, and living for today, seeking temporary pleasures, according to the world standards, they become, and we have become, hut builders. They destroy their hope of living in a castle tomorrow in a land known as Beulah Land. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your purpose. Because of our inactive and passive stand as Christians, we've lost our standard, we've lost our purpose, and we've lost our worship, and lost the America we used to love and know. America is not the country God continued to bless and pour His blessings on. But God's grace is sufficient. And God is long-suffering. And God is waiting for America to come back as one nation under God. So America needs the Christians to take a stand and fight for the Judeo-Christian nation God allowed our forefathers to form in the spiritually divine wisdom, one nation under God. Yes, indeed, one nation under God. And America is celebrating an independence, I fear to say, that it no longer has. Americans have become slave and in bondage to their spiritual ways, worshiping their man-made idols and gods, living in their lust of their own pleasures. You may ask, what can you do? First, make sure that you've made a commitment to Jesus Christ. Make sure that you're building a relationship with Him daily. And if you've already done that, are you being used of Him? Are you the salt of our society? Are you daily building a relationship with Jesus Christ? Are you sharing with others the beautiful gospel of Jesus Christ? Are you keeping God's standards in your personal life and fighting for God's standards in your community and in your government? That's what we should be doing this Independence Day. This Independence Day, we should be telling and encouraging people to be totally dependent on Jesus Christ. This Independence Day, we should be telling others, you're celebrating something you really don't understand. That America is no longer independent, but America has put itself in bondage and slavery. But you can be free as an American. And that freedom and that liberty comes through His Word. And His Word even speaks of liberty. Amen. So, believers, stand in liberty provided through Christ. Are you the salt to America? God bless America. God bring America on her knees in repentance of her sins. And then in closing, this is just one of my favorite, as you know, where I'm going to go. If my people, which are called by my name, were His people, we're called by His name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Heavenly Father, please heal our land. Heavenly Father, we pray that not necessarily for the courthouses of America this evening, but we pray for the church houses of America. We pray for the bride of Christ, those born again, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, that we, Heavenly Father, will have that spark, will have that boldness, will tell others of the liberty, the only liberty they have is in Jesus Christ. God bless America. God bless us with this election year coming up. May we boldly proclaim the name of Christ. May we test every candidate by their standard, their godly standard, Heavenly Father. And then may you find us faithful. We pray for a revival in America, and the revival can only start in my heart first. So God in heaven, forgive us of our sins. Thank you for your long suffering, and be with us at Crescent Beach Baptist Church, that we will be a lighthouse to a community. And Heavenly Father, we will not be able to sit still without telling people of the liberty they have in Jesus Christ. Thank you. God continue to bless.